When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And here also from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, verse 15 of chapter 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In John chapter 15, verses 8 to 11. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Esther. The story of Esther began with, remember, Queen Vashti. She didn't obey the king's order. Subsequently, she was banished from the palace. So the whole kingdom, the whole country went out there in search of a new queen. And Esther, among many other, Esther was chosen as the new queen. Now, she could enjoy all the beauty and the wealth and the status of having in the royal position. And as she held this position, something came. A troubling news. Via one of her relatives, her older cousin by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. He was in deep trouble. So Esther wanted to know what happened. And so later she found out that this a high position in the government is trying to take out all, or wiped out all of her people. And so Mordecai went to Esther and said, you got to do something. You got to go and appear before the king and ask for mercy so that you and your people will be saved. And Esther calculated the count, the cost. She counted the cost before going and appearing before the king. You see, if you approach the king without his permission, without the summons from the king, it will be a death penalty. Esther knew that. So what did Esther do? She asked her people to fast and pray day and night for 3 days for her. In verse 16, she said, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. If I perish, I perish. See, Esther didn't know what would happen to her. In fact, let me go back. Esther didn't hear from God directly. Never, God never spoke to Esther directly and say, Esther, you go. Remember, God did that to somebody else in the Old Testament? God said to somebody, he said, I have seen the misery of my people, so I have come down to save my people now. Who did God send? Moses, right? Remember that God sent Moses. God spoke to Moses directly. And then God gave Moses a sign. Remember the burning bush in the desert. But not here in this case. Esther didn't hear from the Lord directly. Esther didn't see a sign that she would be okay, that she would be saved. In fact, she was so troubled that she asked the people to pray for her how many days? 3 days, day and night, to fast. And this is not such a confident and a comfort for Esther by going there and saying that if I perish, I perish. She had no idea what would happen to her if she would appear before the king on behalf of her people. Men and women, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you feel chosen to do something right? When was the last time you feel that you need to do the right thing, even though the will, the plan of God, the will of God seems to be ambiguous? It's unclear. You have no idea if it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do according to God's side. But you know in your heart that you got to do the right thing here. And let me rewind furthermore. When was the last time you feel chosen by God? Period. Chosen by God. The scripture tells us that you and I are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We are all winners. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In John chapter 15 verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 said, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Men and women, you are chosen. You are here for a purpose. We are all Esthers in some way. It is very true that we may not be approached by our relatives, our friends, our neighbors to say, "Would you go to the White House and appear before the president to save the whole nation? If you don't do that, the whole nation will perish." Now, not one person will come up to, very unlikely for us to do that. But I suppose we could write letters to our state governments and national governments and ask the leaders to rule this nation, this world, justly, to walk humbly with God, and to do justice. But if I'm right, that you and I are called every day, to be Esther, to be going out there and bearing fruit. Why? Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be what? My disciples." Because we are Jesus' disciples, that we are called to be going out there bearing fruit. Now the question will go next. That is that what fruit should we bear? A friend of mine used to challenge Christians, especially leaders, and ask them the ages and the time that they have become Christians, how long they have become a Christians. And then he asked them, "So how many non-believers have you converted to Christianity?" You know, if that question is thrown out to all Christians and churches, this will be very discouraging. Because none of us, or most of us should say, could really go out there every day to be the evangelist of Billy Graham or someone else than you name and saying, "You know what? I'm going to convert. I'm going to change the hearts of men and women for the cause of Christ and turn them into be believers and followers of Jesus Christ." It is impossible. It is not all that our calling. We all call to be evangelists. And yet Jesus said that this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Let me ask you one more time. What fruit do you think Jesus is asking us to bear, to produce? the next verse is a clue. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. In order to produce fruits, we need to remain in God's love. And when we remain in God's love, we will produce fruit. Well, it may involve, yes, going and evangelizing, doing missions, doing good works. But the fruits that the Bible is calling us as Christians in our everyday life is what I believe what Paul talks about in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 to 26. The fruit of the Spirit. Remember that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now that's what God is calling us to bear every day in our Christian walk. The foundation of Christian ethics is that we will remain in God's love. We will remain in the love of God, and that we may bear fruit each day. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's true that it is difficult. It is hard. And it is impossible, in fact, to bear all this fruit. By the way, they are not multiple choice. That's what Christian disciple should be doing. Every day producing this fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, that is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is impossible to rely on our own strength. It happened to me, and I know that I have shared so many stories about driving, about my kids, my family. You know, I'm going to give my family a break today, but I will share you about my driving, okay? Because I drive every day. I came home late last night. I was tired. Just like many of you, weekends, you have events and things. And coming home, it was late at night. Just before turning left to drop to my driveway, a green truck came right behind me. The traffic was red. I couldn't turn, make a left turn. Now, this was Saturday at almost 10 o'clock at night. The light was still red. And it's just one tiny second, that split second that the red turned into green, and I wasn't fast enough to make a left turn. I was tired, okay? Then the truck behind me was honking at me and blinking his lights. I don't know why people do that. They blink their lights, headlights, especially at night. You know, bad words did came to my head, I must admit. I wasn't joyful at that moment. I wasn't peaceful. I wasn't forbearance. I wasn't being kind. I didn't have the fruit of goodness or faithfulness. That went out through the door, really, at that moment, I must admit. Having said that, being a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we are sinless and that we are perfect. In fact, we are reminded that if we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us, correct? We are all sinful. But yet when we recognize that Jesus has washed away all our sins, that we are a winner in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did on the cross, that all of our sins are washed away, and yet we are found lovable. We are found wonderful in the eyes of God. And that we want to live like Christ. And that we don't rejoice in our sin, but we want to live a life that glorify the Lord, that pleases God. And that what we are, if that's what we are disciples of Jesus Christ, willing to obey His command, willing to follow God in spite of us, in spite of our human nature, then the work of God has already begun in you. He who began a good work in you will see to this that it will complete. He will complete it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 promises us that we will be made completed in the day of Jesus Christ. If you are disciples of Jesus Christ, then it is possible to live like Christ, to be Esther out there, to appear before our King, our mighty King, whatever the cost may be, to live for God every day. Now it is impossible to rely on our strength. I just gave you the example, the illustrations of my driving experience. There are so many stories there that we could say, I can't do it. It's impossible. But you see, that's precisely the point. That's why God came. That's why God gave us His love. God loves you because you can do it. God loves you because God loves you, period. Is there a good point? God loves you because God loves you. That's the point. Not because you can obey the law, not because you can obey the commandments, as important as they are. God loves you because He loves you. So if we want to live a Christian life, if we want to love God, the scripture tells us that the way to love God is by knowing God's love in Jesus Christ. Not by what we do or what we don't, but simply knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning. That's why Jesus said, remain in my love, just as I have remained in the Father's love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now the question then is that, do you really love Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? Most of us, if not all, would say humbly in our hearts and said, yes, we do love Jesus. We do. Humbly, so you're saying in your heads, that's the reason I'm here today, right? Well, if we really, really love Jesus, this is what Jesus is saying. Then your willingness, your will, your desire to obey God will come naturally out of your love for who? For God. And how would that show? How would that be displayed and demonstrated? Ellen was right this morning as he... Where's Ellen? Yes, Ellen. It's one thing is by sharing Christ wherever we may be, sharing what we have, whatever the counts. Remember Esther, she counted the cost. She knew its dangers involved, but she went out there and sharing her life. And it involves service. To show our love for God involves service. Remember Jesus, He washed the feet of who? The disciples, and said, now that I have loved you and I have done this for you, you should do this for one another. As I have, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It involves service to our family, our friends, our community, our nation. If we really love Jesus, then it will involve us showing sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's the term we don't really want to hear in this day and age. Sharing, yes. Service, yes. But sacrifice? That's not for me, really. It's too hard to give up. Well, you see, God is not going to ask us what we cannot do. with his help. You see, Jesus did this for us, didn't he? Yes, Esther risked her life. But Jesus too went in that garden praying day and night, praying overnight, and in fact praying and asking his disciples to pray, and he knew the cup he must drink. He counted the cost, and Jesus knew in order to show God's love, it would involve him going to the cross. Sacrifice. And why would Jesus ask us that? If we do that, we will show that our love for God, that we are truly his disciples. And that if we do that, if we follow his commands, even when sacrifice is involved, that we will have joy. That's what verse 11 on John chapter 15 said. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. I believe that God knows what real joy is. I believe that Jesus knew what real joy is about. Joy in the midst of strife, right? Christian joy. We rejoice in hardships and difficulties. Why? Because everything that happens under God's control, really, God wills it. God allows that to happen. And that if we can know and remember and follow God's command, even in the midst of our pain and our suffering, we will see the glory of God. Can we say amen to that? Amen. So what have you been chosen for? Some of you say, you know what? I survived cancer, not just one time, but twice or three times. And some of you may say, oh, I just make through a terrible marriage, and that God, by his grace, allowed us to have new relationship again. Some of you perhaps just survive a terrible car accident in which you probably couldn't explain why you are still here. I have that story. One day I will explain to you. Because of time, I can't go on and on. I have that story. God's purpose living in us. And we need to think about that. The reason that we are still here, the reason that we're here, our purpose is that God's will us to be here to carry out his purpose so that we can ultimately we can glorify the Lord with all that we are, all that we have, in all of our circumstances, in all our positions, our status. Will you go? Will you run to God? Will you run to his face just as you are with whatever you have and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. All my circumstances, all my events, all my life for your glory, for your honor. The Bible says when you do that, you will have joy. That your joy will not just be a worldly joy, a human joy, but God's joy that is in you may be complete. Many of your calls, and you have different position in life, at work, at home, in community, at church. In such a time as this, and for such a time as this, men and women, God is calling you to serve him, to honor him, to follow him, to obey him. But if you try to do that on your own, you will not make it. We will not make it. Perhaps the condition to do that, to be able to follow God, to do his will, must lie, go back at the first foundations, is to remain in his love. To know God's love. That God loves you just because he loves you. Remember that every day. Instead of saying, I will love God, I will love God, I will love God. That may not work for 3 years, 5 years, or 100 years. because it involved in our attempt to love God and to do things for God, even to obey God's law, even as good as they are. We can't do it. But if you turn it around by saying, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Right? Every day, remind yourself of that. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Then you will begin to realize the love of God, His sacrifice, His giving of Himself, the extent in which God went to prove His love for us. The scripture says this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about this every day. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Then, once again, you can say, I will love God. I will love God. I will love God. Why? Because He first loved me. And knowing that, you can live for Him. You can obey His commands with that kind of awareness and realizing that God loves you no matter what. You can go out there and make a difference for God's kingdom, for His glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.